Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we begin Perek Shlish, the third Perek in the realm of Hilchas Yiv Mechalitza, the laws of Yiv Mechalitza, in the Sefer Nashim, and we continue on this halachas, specifically now regarding who do we trust regarding what to proceed with Yiv Mechalitza. As the Ram begins halacha Aleph regarding the trustworthiness of the husband to say if he has sons or brothers, which are two very important variables regarding the mitzvah of Yiv. As the Ram says, let's say someone says, Zebeni, this is my son. Where, again, if he has a son, there's no Yiv. Oishomoi says, Yesh li ban. He says, I have sons, which, be that as it may, wherever they are, that means to say my wife does not have to have Yibam after I pass away. Hariz a Neman, he's believed. Ufoitres ishtim and achlitzim and Yibam, and he exempts his wife from Chalitza and from Yibam. And even though we have a presumption, we know that he has brothers, there's no Zika to them, because if he would want to right now, he could divorce his wife with a get. So you have this, what's called migui of malashaka. Why should he lie for? So because of that migui, we believe him to exempt his wife from the Zika of Yibam. Moreover, his words don't contradict the chazaka of the brothers, because even if he has brothers, since he has sons, that is already exempting his wife from Yibam. Now halacha beis. Let's say he says, Ze achi. This is my brother. He says, Yesh liach, and he says, I have brothers, which that would make his wife to have a Zika for Yibam, which up until now, we didn't know of any brothers, which hence, obviously, there's no Yibam obligation. So, Einoi Nema Lesser Sishli. Here, he's not believed to make his wife forbidden to marry other people until she first has Chalitza from these brothers, whoever they are. Ula Nicha Zekuga Liyavim, that she remains bound to the Yavim. So, he's a Meskam, because his intention is, meaning not necessarily from malicious intent, but his intention is to make her forbidden after he passed away, and he's not believed to remove her from a prior chazaka, which up until his announcement, we didn't know of any brothers, and therefore there was a chazaka that she has no zika, he cannot remove with his statement from the chazaka that she was permitted to marry other people. Halacha Gimel. Let's say muchzik sheyesh le'achad. Let's say we had a presumption, we knew that there were brothers. V'amar b'shas misas, and he says at the time of death, which is a very auspicious moment, people don't usually lie at that moment. And he says, Ein liach, and he says, I know everyone thought I was brothers. I don't have any brothers. And hence, obviously, she's exempt from this. There's no bond over here within the oven. Ein anemen. He's not believed. Where here he doesn't have what we could say what's called biyod legarsha. Because why not? He could divorce her now. So why don't you say that should exempt her? Because this migui would fly in the face of a chazaka, which we had a betel now a chazaka that there were brothers that she has an obligation of yibum. And how could we believe him that there's not? In contrast, in the previous halacha, when he says, I have sons, that doesn't contradict the chazak of the brothers. It's even though there's brothers, yeah, but if he has sons, then she's going to exempt. And therefore, there he was believed. In contrast, over here, he's not believed. Let's say also if he says, on someone that we had a presumption that was his brother, and he says, Ein Zach is not my brother. Again, Ein Neman is not believed to nullify her prior chazakah, which that she had a bond to this Yavim. Everyone thought it's his brother. He says, it's not my brother. He's not believed because he's going kenegad chazaka. Let's say lohaya muksu ba'achin. Let's say we didn't have a presumption that there were brothers. But b'yatza kol sheyesh sham edim sheyidur sheyesh labal achin. There were some rumors that there are witnesses somewhere that could testify that the husband has brothers. Obviously, if he has brothers, then the widow is not permitted until she has yima chalitza from them. But v'edim medina acheres, the witnesses were in some other country. Even if this person who's dying says at the time of the moment of death, I don't have a brother, still she has to be concerned, she has to wait for marrying other people, that maybe there's some substance to those rumors, and maybe there are brothers that she has a Zika bond to, and therefore she has to wait until the witnesses that were said about, until they come, and he can ask them that, is it true or not? Because since it's something that Efshe Levuri could verify, and with asking the witnesses, we have to verify and not be lenient regarding something as strong as the Isser of Eshes Ish. Halacha Dal. Misha Zane and Misha. Someone had an extramarital affair with another woman. Ben Penuya, Ben Eshes Ish, whether she was single or whether she was a married woman. Ben Nisabra, and she was impregnated. Vamani says, Zehu Uber Mimenuhu, this woman, she was impregnated from me. Vafili Maidla, and even if that woman agrees and admits that's true, yeah, he fathered this child. Ava Peshu Benoilin Yerusha, though that now this son has the halacha of his son for the grand laws of inheritance, because the reason why we believe him is because if he wants to, he can anyways gift it all to this child anyway. So regarding the laws of inheritance, he's considered like his son, but I raise a suffix in Yibum, but it's still considered only as a doubt regarding the laws of Yibum. if we should believe him that this is really his son. Why? Because Kishem Shazin Tzim said, just like this woman was Mezana with him, Kechzin Tzimacha, so too she could have other relationships with other men. How can we know for sure the paternity that this is his child? There's no chazak over here, because if from the inception of the child we never knew who the paternity is. And then we can't say, oh, it retains its original chazak, as we usually say with a paternity. Rather, no, this child's always going to be a situation of doubt. Maybe it's not his son, and maybe this his wife is going to be the widow of a man who did not have any children. So rather, we treat it stringently, which maybe it is his son, and therefore it's forbidden for the brother-in-law to do yibum. But at the same time, she requires chalitza, because maybe it's not his son, and she does require chalitza from the yavam. Now, halacha hey, the Rambam continues regarding the trustworthiness of witnesses regarding the husband's death, which is the precursor to the halacha of yibum. Halacha hey, neman eid echad, a singular witness is believed, lahoyd liyavama shemez bala, to testify to the yavama that her husband passed away, and she could now do yibum based on his testimony. Or even the singular witness could testify shemez yavama that her brother-in-law, the one that she would have to do yibum with, passed away. Or that her husband had a son, Latir Lazar, which now that he's dead, would permit the widow to get married a foreigner because he died with a child. In contrast to the Rive, it says that actually that witness is not believed to say that the husband had a son, because that's not something that's ultimately going to be revealed, and maybe he's lying. In contrast to the Rambam holds that no, the woman's not going to rely on just a witness itself, and she's going to be precise to know if it's true or not, so that she's not going to have to leave the new husband after she gets married, as Ram says later on, halachia test. And therefore, we're going to believe this witness as a single witness, well, as we always say, for Igunam, even to say that the husband had a child and that she could marry someone else. And this, even if it's a slave or a woman, or even a non-Jew that's innocently talking, that made Benisa's Yavim, that he's testifying that the Yavim passed away, just like we said, halacha, that he could testify regarding a married woman to permit her that her husband passed away to marry someone else when there's no law of Yibum. Like we explained, now, just like over there, in halacha vav, says the Rambam, five women, they cannot testify for the other one that the husband passed away. Just so that's going to have the same halacha, that she cannot testify that the Yavam passed away, that she could go ahead and marry someone else. And the din edizu, and the halachas of this testimony is kedin oisei, this is like that halacha of that testimony of the husband passing away. Lenya edim, regarding the laws of the witnesses, shemekhichins as a misa yavim, when you have witnesses that are contradicting each other, if the yavim passed away, just like over there, if the husband passed away, ulachadav, and for all halachic purposes, these are going to have the same halachas regarding the laws of witnesses, and regarding that of the five women that are not able to testify for the husband dying, so too for the yavim dying. Halacha Zayin, the Rambam continues with, let's say shtei yavamas. Let's say there are two yavamas, meaning these women married to two brothers. Shabam and Din Sayam, that they come from a Din Sayam, so they're the other one's yavama, because it's her sister-in-law, because they married brothers. They both come from overseas, and each one makes the claim, Zumez, this one says, Meis Bali, my husband died. Zumez, this says, Meis Bali, my husband died. So the halacha is like this. Zuasura, this one's forbidden to marry someone else, because of the husband of her sister-in-law, which is her yavama, which meaning her yavam, she has a zika bond with, and he's not here to do chalitza. And the other one's forbidden, not because she's believed to say her husband died, but she's forbidden because of the husband of her sister-in-law, which is her brother-in-law. Because her Yavama, which is one of the five women that we said in the previous halacha, is not believed to testify that her Yavam passed away, like we explained in the previous halacha. So because of that, each one's forbidden because of the possibility of her brother-in-law still being alive, and that's so therefore both are stuck because of the other one. Now, halacha ches, but let's say one of them had a witness that her husband passed away. So it's not just her claim, she had a witness. So Zushi Ishla Ha'ed, actually, interesting, paradoxically, the one who has the witness, she actually remains prohibited to marry someone else. She'ina Strubim Nebala, because the reason why she's been is not because of her husband. You're right, her husband's dead. And we would even believe herself. So the fact that she has a witness is not why it's forbidden. It's rather because of her Yavam, meaning there's no witnesses on the death of her Yavam. The only one who's testifying is her Yavama, meaning her sister-in-law. And she's not believed, like we said. But Vizusha Inla Eid Muteris, the one who does not have a witness that her husband died, actually is permitted. Shari Heid Ho'eid Shemesivama, because that witness is testifying that her brother in law passed away, which we do believe the Eid Echad. And she herself believed to say that her husband passed away. So her husband's dead, and we have a witness that her brother in law passed away. Now, halacha test. Let's say one of these Yavamas, one of these women who is saying that her husband passed away, she had children from her husband, which obviously there's no halacha of Yibam on her. But the other one doesn't have children. So Zusha in Laban Masur, so the one that doesn't have children is going to be forbidden because of the Zika to her brother in law. But Zusha is Laban Matez, but the one that has children is going to be permitted. Now, regarding the prior halacha, when we have these two Yavamas that don't have children, so that was, we said they can't do anything because we don't believe the sister in law that the brother in law passed away. But let's say Hoylen Yavam Acharkan. So that was where they married two brothers, and no two brothers they claim died overseas. Let's say there was a third brother over here where they're coming back to. So he'll do Yibam to the two of them because that's they're from two different brothers, and therefore that's two different halachas of Yibam Chalitza. It's not like a co-wife, which doing on one exempts the other. Now, halacha Yud says the Rambam, but let's say Mizah Yavam Shibam my son. Let's say this Yavam who was over here, after he did Yibam to them, he passed away, and then he didn't leave over children. So it comes that now that both of them have a Zika because of the death of the Yavam to their brother-in-laws, which possibly are still alive overseas, because we never verified that, because each Yavam was not believed for the other one. Then Asurisli Nasalazar, because now they're again back forbidden to marry some other person, like they initially were before they did Yibam to this brother, because again, each one's not believed to say the other one's husband died. But let's say he did Yibam, the one over here, and then he divorced them from the Yibum. And the same thing would be if, let's say, he dies where he had children from them, where again, now there's no more Zika from Yibum, then they'd be permitted to marry some other person because they don't have any more Zika of Yibum on them. But again, if he died without any children, now they have a Yibum from him to that brother, and there might be a brother overseas. Now, the Rambam continues regarding the trustworthiness of the woman. Says the Rambam, even though the woman's believed to say, she believed to say my husband died, that she could get remarried or that she could do Yibam. But any of them in the men's lema, but the Yavam is not believed to say, to say that my brother-in-law, the Yavam, that he died, that now that he's out of the way and there's no more brothers, that she can marry some other person. Why? Why should I not believe over there? Halibu is to love, since that prohibition of marrying some other person when her Yavam is still alive and didn't do Yibam Chalitza is only a negative prohibition, not that of a Ervav Karas. Maybe it's going to be a light in her eyes to go ahead and bypass that Isser. And she's not going to be so precise to really find out if her Yavam died or not, in contrast to if saying her husband died, which that's the Issa Eishas Ish, which you get a Mrs. Besen, and that her son from the second one would be Mazem, that she would be careful. So there we believe her, but regarding to say her Yavam died, that we don't believe her. In the Yavam Nemalem, so to the Yavam, the brother was not believed to say Misachi that my brother died. She Yabmesishi that he could do Yibam on his sister-in-law. Shemeinam Nasim, but because maybe he has laid eyes on her and he wants to marry her, even though his brother's not really dead. Also, the woman's not believed to say Misachi, my sister died. She dekanes lebeisa that she can marry her brother-in-law, which a man's forbidden in his sister-in-law, his wife's sister, only as long as his wife is alive. So the sister cannot say, oh, my sister died, that now she can marry that brother-in-law. And the Einish Nemalem, so a man is not believed to say, Mesish, that my wife died, she says, Achesa, that he can marry her sister, until you have two witnesses to testify that her sister passed away. And then she can enter into her husband's, into her brother-in-law's house. As the Ram explains, Shleiminu Eid Echad, because they didn't believe with the testimony of a single witness, and for sure the woman herself, Elam Shema Taras Aguna, that was only for the permissibility of a forlorn woman, where she cannot marry anyone in the world if we don't accept the Eid Echad's testimony. But here, she can marry other people, and the brother can marry other women. Commissioner Bianna, like we explained in the end of Hilchos Gerushin, that we don't want the woman to remain Naguna, and therefore that we made the leniency. But all other cases, we did not apply this leniency. Now, Allah Yud Beis, Lefikach, therefore, says the Rambam, that since we don't believe her to say that my Yavam, my brother-in-law, the one who I have to do Yibam with, passed away, so So if a woman, with her husband and her brother-in-law, went overseas, above Amish, she comes back and she says, Meis Bali Bachkech Meis Yavami, my husband died, and then my brother-in-law passed away. Or she says the other way, Meis Yavami, first my brother-in-law passed away, Bachkech Meis Bali, then my husband died. She's not trusted to get married to someone else because she has no brother-in-law. She rather retains her prior chazaka that she has a mitzvah of Yibum because we knew that there was a brother-in-law. And she's not believed to say that he passed away. Let's say only her and her husband go overseas on a trip, and there was no Yavam over here, and therefore she had a chazaka that if her husband is going to die, she's permitted to marry some other person. And she comes and she says like this. She says, "Truth is, I want you to know, my mother-in-law gave birth to another son, meaning to say my brother got a Yavam, meaning got another brother, which is my Yavam, overseas. But he died." Now, Bain Shama, whether she says, Mesi Vami, the Achach Mes Bali, that first my brother in law died, and then my husband died, or Bain Shama, whether she says, Mes Bali, the Achach Mes Yam Shinitli, or first my husband died, and then the brother in law that was given died, doesn't make a difference. Her reason the men is, she's believed to go ahead and marry someone else. And the reason for it is the Talmudic dictum of Shapesha Asa, because the mouth that's making her forbidden, which she's the one who said that I have a Yavam, which she's making herself obligated in the Zika of Yim, which we never knew about, because we never knew about another any brother. That's her same mouth that's permitting her, because she's saying that he died. So therefore, we never knew her to be forbidden, and therefore she's making herself forbidden, she could also make herself permitted. Halacha Yud Gimel. Ha'isha shahalcha hi ubala ubana l'matiyas yam. The other variable. There's always two variables regarding the laws of Yibam, if there's a brother-in-law, and if there's a son. So if the woman and her husband and her son go overseas, uvavam, she comes and she says, Meis bali ve'achkach meis bani, and that's why we're always saying which one's first, because here it's going to be applicable. Let's say she said first that my husband passed away, and then my son passed away. So nemenis, she's believed to then go ahead and get married to someone else, because she was always in the permission of marrying someone else, Behel Shaholcha, when she left, because if her husband's going to die, we always know that she has a son, and obviously she doesn't have a Zika bond for a Yibam. Now, let's say she says, Meis b'ni v'achach meis b'ni, she says the other order. First my son passed away, and then my husband passed away. Now, the primary element of Yibam Chalitza is, at the time of death, does he have a child? Now, the way she's saying it now, her son died first, so her husband didn't have a child when he died. Ain't in the menace l'syab. No, she's not believed to go ahead and do Yibam to her brother-in-law, because she always had a chazaka that there's no Zika to the brother-in-law, because we knew that there was a child. Now, we have to be concerned that maybe she's lying because she loves her brother-in-law, and she wants him, at least him, to marry her. But, so she can't do Yibam, but we are concerned for her words stringently not to allow her to get married to some other person, because based on what she's saying, that her son died first, she does have a Zika to the Yavam, so she makes herself forbidden to any other person. And therefore, Vachilat says, therefore, the brother-in-law does Chalitza to at least permit her to someone else. But again, cannot do Yibam, because it goes in the face of the Chazaka, that we know that there was no Zika bond to the Yavam. Let's say only her and the husband that they went on this trip, which comes out that she, and we knew that she had a brother-in-law, a Yavam, and therefore there's a chazaka that she has a Zika bond to him if her husband would die, because they didn't have children. She comes along and she says, I want you to know, I had a child overseas, the mason, he died. And then my husband died. So it comes out, the way she's saying it, that she has a Zika bond, because at the time of death, he didn't have a child. So nemenis. So she believed what she's saying, and there's a mitzvah of Yibam. Because when she left, that was the chazak, the presumptive was that she's going to be permitted to the Yavam, because when she left, she didn't have any child. And she's saying she had one, but he died before, which retains the mitzvah of Yibam. So it's going to, she's going to be believed, and she'll do Yibam. Now, Amar, let's say she says, Meis bali v'achach meis ben shenitli. Let's say she says that, no, my husband first died, and then the son that we had, which no one ever knew about, he subsequently died, and therefore at the time of death, which is the primary kaveya that establishes the obligation, she did not have a zika for Yibam. Ain't in the menace left to ask from the Yibam and Chalitza. She's not believed to exempt herself from Yibam and from Chalitza because she had a chazaka that she did have this bond with the Yavam. But we are concerned for her words not to allow Yibam based on what she's saying, there is no zika for Yibam. So rather, the brother in law does Chalitza and not Yibam. Halacha Tzav of the Ram continues to say, when did we say this, that based on what she's saying, at least will require chalitza, is kishahisa psula kuna mitchilas, only if she was already prohibited to marry subsequently a kohen from the beginning. I mean, before she married this husband who passed away, she was already forbidden to a kohen. For example, she has a gusha chalala, that she was a divorcee, or she was born from a forbidden union of a kohen and a gerusha, which makes her a chalala, which is also forbidden to a kohen. Or she says, b'ma'ar hayinu kishameis, that we were in a cave when my husband passed away, and there was no one else there to testify who died first, my husband or my son. In those cases, we're going to say, okay, out of the doubt that she's claiming, the way she's saying it, although we don't really believe it because it's chazaka, but we'll require chalitza. Avla ima in a dabar kain, but if let's say it was not like that, meaning she was never forbidden to a kohen before this death, and it wasn't just in the cave, then in the chalitza we're not going to have chalitza. Why not? What do you mean? Based on what she's saying, she's saying that she is obligated to be chalitza, because shema tachlitz, because, okay, what are you going to do? Maybe they can do chalitza. Vivo aidim v'yidusha dovah k'mishav, and then what's going to happen is that witnesses are going to come along and say, as she said, that is, v'habal meis tchila, and that really husband died first, before the son died, and therefore, based on what she's saying, you're right, there's no zika for the yavam, and v'nimtzis chalitza zorein neklum, it's going to come out that this chalitza really is nothing, because it's true. We had a chazaka that she is obligated. Now we can't do it because of what she's saying. So okay, but we still require chalitza. But let's say it's true what like she said, and it's going to come out that really the chalitza was nothing because she had a child. He had a child at the time of the death, and then so what's going to happen is so she's not a chalitza. V'tinas lekoyin, so she can still get married to a kohen. The kohen's forbidden the chalitza, but it comes that she's not really a chalitza. Oh, the problem is v'yir haroy yosheshacholtzav neslakayin. The one who saw that she got chalitza, and then suddenly she get married to a kohen. V'yidam, he's going to think shachalitza mitazakuna. He's going to say, hey, wait a second, chalitza be to get married to a kohen. But when he day beidim shavu, because he's not going to know about the second half of the story, which is that no witnesses of the kohen came along and said that no, it's true, like she said that there was no zika here at all, and therefore the chalitza was not a chalitza at all. So lafikach letachet v'tziam. Therefore, no, she should not have chalitza and not yibum. Rather, she should remain with the original chazaka, which was that she had a zika bond as she left. Until witnesses come along and testify, like she's saying, that then we know that there's no bond, and therefore there's not going to be an unnecessary chalitza, because if we do that, it might come to a situation where it might give the appearance that a chalutz is getting married to a kohen. But again, if she was in a cave, no witnesses are going to come, okay, then we're not going to run to that problem where, yes, she'll remain forbidden to a kohen, even though she's saying that she's not, because she's saying, really, I don't require anything, but because of the chazaka, we know there was a zika bond, so we'll have to do either yibum chalitza. We can't do yibum based on what she's saying, but we'll do chalitza, and because we're not going to run into that problem. Or again, if she was anyways forbidden to a kohen from beforehand, where okay, anyways you're not going to marry a kohen. Forget about this situation because of chalitza, simply because she was already grusha or chalala. So then you could also go ahead and do the chalitza and not have to wait for the witnesses to come. Now, look at the Zayin. The Ram continues regarding. Let's say we have a doubt if there are sons or brothers, which are two of the variables regarding if Yibam is done or not. Look at the Zayin. Let's say if a woman goes with her husband and her co-wife, the other wife of the husband, to overseas. Now two witnesses came along. The case is Isha, she doesn't go. Isha shalach bala b'tzuras m'nizyam. Her husband and her co-wife, she stayed back. The co-wife with the husband, they went on their trip. And then two witnesses came along and said to her, the one who remained over here, meis balach. Your husband passed away. She can't do chalitza nor yibum forever. Ad, until she evada emiol de tzarasa, until she finds out if her co-wife had a child overseas from her husband, and then she can get married to whoever she wants to because the fact that her husband had a child exempts her from yibum. Or that if there was no child, and then, if you know there was no child, then you could do yibum or chalitza. Says the Rambam, "V'lo malei tachlitz achat es chadash mizabal." Why can't you do chalitza after 9 months from when the husband had passed away? Now, within 9 months, we understand why she cannot have chalitza done, because maybe the co-wife is pregnant and it's not going to be a viable child. And even to do chalitza on a pregnant woman is not a valid chalitza, even if the chalitza herself is not the pregnant one, but rather the co-wife is pregnant. In that interim period when you can't do yibum because maybe there's a fetus and it's going to be a viable child, you at the same time you can't do chalitza. But what's bothering the Rambam is, but okay, why can't you do chalitza after 9 months from when the husband passed away? The tima teres lazar kabam, then either way you look at it, should be admitted to another person, as the Rambam explains. Shim yol the tzuras, because if after the 9 months it turns out that her co-wife had a child, sorry, nifter azus, so then she's exempt from yibum and she's allowed to marry whoever she wants to because her husband had a child. Vim loyol, then if it turns out he didn't have a child, hari nechlitza, so then she got chalitza. Why can't yibum manam shas do chalitza? So this is similar like we said in the previous halacha. He's there, it's rabbinic concern. Shem yevadacha chalitza, because maybe you're going to find that after that we did this chalitza, out of doubt, we didn't know what the story was. We did chalitza. We're going to find that she yelled at Sarasa blood shal kiyama, that her co-wife actually was pregnant and had a child. The nimtz is going to come out, the zoi shein a chalitza, is coming out that this woman wasn't really a chalitza because it was unnecessary, because her husband from the other wife had a child. She'll get married to a kohen. I'm not a chalitza. I'm a regular man who could get married to a kohen. And then the one who sees is going to say, huh? He doesn't know about the second half of the story. The witness came along and told us the end of the story, which was that she didn't really need chalutza because the co-wife had a baby. He's going to think, shachalutza mertes hakain. A chalutza is mertes hakain. The yoicharo is, and this is the kun, lapi besna. He's going to say, he's going to testify. He says, yeah, I saw that her get married to a kain based on the ruling of the court, which is incorrect. Therefore, so says Ram, if she was forbidden to kuhuna from the beginning, that she was a gerusha chalala when she married the first man, okay, then harizu chalitza lachatisha betinaslaza. Then yeah, she ladu chalitza after 9 months and get married to another person, like we said, mimonavsha. But again, if she wasn't, then we'd be concerned, like we said, because of this problem that might arise. Now, avulzah hatzara shalisim balakishmeis. But this co-wife, who she was with the husband when he passed away overseas, she has to be tamted tishim yom kishar yom. She has to wait 90 days like other yevamis, who they cannot do chalitza yibum until after 90 days from the husband passed away, because we have to know if she's pregnant from the first husband or not. And then metachlis says, yeah, then she can do chalitza or yibum. She doesn't have to be concerned for her co-wife in that other country, meaning the one that remained over here when she went overseas on her trip, to say that maybe this one is pregnant, because the husband wasn't with her in the country. He was with her overseas, and then we know that he for sure was not pregnant from her, and therefore she could just go ahead and do this yibum chalitza after 90 days from when her husband passed away. Now, Alochi Zandram continues, Ha'isha Shemeis Bala. For a woman that her husband passed away, and he didn't leave over any children, and he didn't have any brothers, so obviously there's no halacha of yibum. But she had a mother-in-law overseas. So said the Rambam, I'm not concerned, Shem Yodach HaMoisa, that maybe the mother-in-law had a boy, Ukvarnit Lo Yav Medina Chayas, and maybe she had a child. Not only she had a child, maybe the child was a boy in some other country. They weren't so concerned for that maybe she got pregnant, maybe it was a boy. Rather, the widow remains with her chazaka, and she remains permitted to go to marry to someone else because we didn't know of any brothers. Same thing applies to a woman that her husband passed away. And they had a son living in some other country. So the widow is permitted to marry some other person. We're not concerned that, oh, maybe the son had died, and oh, therefore this husband's dying without any children. Rather, she retains her chazaka that, no, there was a son, and she's permitted to marry someone else. Let's say her mother-in-law, she left town when she was pregnant. So although we didn't know that this husband had any brothers, but the mother-in-law left pregnant. Then we have to be concerned. And then therefore she cannot marry someone else until she finds out what happened with the pregnancy of her mother-in-law. Maybe that she gave birth to another son before her husband passed away. Again, if it was afterwards, then it wouldn't be, because that's Eishes Achshel Hoyba Alamai. But rather, he would find out, she has to find out if there was a brother born before her husband passed away. If a woman that her husband and her son went overseas, and they came along the bad news, your husband passed away, and then your son passed away. So based on that, when the husband died, there was a child, and they were permitted to marry someone else. So based on that testimony, she went, but she got married to someone else. And then she found there was actually the opposite. First her son passed away, and then her husband, which means to say that she actually had a zika, she was bound to the oven. Because at the time of the death, there was no child. So Tetzei, she has to leave that other person, but v'havolot kasher, the child that she had from that other person is going to be kasher, because when the yavama marries a zar, it's only a negative prohibition, and the mamz is only when you have from a liability of that which is punishable by curse. Now, let's say it said to her the opposite. They told him, meis b'neich, v'akach meis balach. First your son passed away, and then your husband passed away. So based on that testimony, she went and did yibum because her husband died when he already didn't have a child. And then she found there was actually the opposite. Comes out she actually was forbidden to the yavam, and not only that, that's called ishesach shleib makam mitzah. That's a chiv of a chorus, because it's her regular brother-in-law, which has no permissibility of yibum, because actually the son actually was alive when her husband passed away. So then Tetzei has to leave the yavam. And the child that was born, either before the report or after the report, is going to be a mamzer, illegitimate child, because the halach is that a mamzer is from those which is from a union of chiyuv krisis, which is what this relation is with this yavama and the yavam, which was not really her yavam because her husband had a child at the time of death, and it's a regular prohibition of eishes achiv, of his brother's wife.